Hey everybody, this is a reminder that this episode is available in video format if you'd rather see pictures and images and video. So you can check that out on YouTube. But other than that, if you want to keep listening to the audio style-y, then you're about to hear a review of The Mutilator, Five Dolls for an August Moon, and Profondo Rosso.
Hi everybody and welcome back to the Flicks the Church Forgot. My name is Peter Laws. Now normally on this show I'll do an in-depth horror movie review, but recently I've been sent so many screener discs from PR companies, which is great, that I decided that rather than just pick one and ignore the rest, I'm going to do some smaller reviews and cram more releases in. So join me as I give you a roundup of a bunch of horror movies that have either just been released in the UK or are just about to be released, and many of these are available worldwide. Tonight I'll look at The Mutilator, Five Dolls for an August Moon, and Profondo Rosso, all from our video. Let's look at a trio of titles that just go to show how much we love those cheeky, sweaty psychos with big, pointy knives. First to run amok is The Mutilator. It's a film that was also known as Fall Break, which frankly would have been an incomprehensible title to many people outside of the United States at the time. Anyway, it's a fun and it's a freaky slasher film from the mid-1980s, which starts like a homemade episode of Casualty. For anyone who's not seen Casualty, it's a UK BBC soap opera drama that's set in a hospital, and it always starts off with a sort of happy situation that you know is going to end in catastrophic bloodshed. You know, I feel like things like Casualty is a show that, you know, it's like a horror show for people who say they don't like horror, but they really, really do. Deep down. Anyway, The Mutilator starts like an episode of Casualty. We've got this proud young boy pasting a sweet handwritten note on a gun cabinet saying, "Happy birthday, Dad, all cleaned by me." And he starts polishing until, bang, Mum in the next room gets a bullet in the back. When the dad turns up, he has an incredibly strange reaction to this. He drags the corpse of his wife into the other room so that, you know, he can share a whiskey with it. Yeah, and the creepiest bit, I thought, was he transfers the kid's handwritten note and sets it neatly on the mum's bloody chest. All cleaned by me, indeed. And so, in the first 5 minutes or so of The Mutilator, you quickly start to become familiar with the twisted nature of the film. And it's a film that's an irresistible cocktail of incompetence and inspired brilliance. Actors sometimes shuffle into shot and look right into the camera. And my favorite moment is a couple of old shopkeepers in a store who lope into a scene and talk while trying to keep their laugh in. And all every now and again, their eyes swivel towards the lens. It's really funny. But despite these moments of amateurism, you suddenly spot scenes that are very well framed and quite artfully shot. It's also quite a subversive film in some ways, particularly how it subverts gender stereotypes. It turns them on their head. Plus, and this isn't to be sniffed at, the film has actual real-life suspense. There were moments in this when I felt my heart rate going up, which is a pretty decent achievement for any movie. Now, the gore here is pretty intense at times, so if you're into that sort of thing, I'd say the film really delivers. In fact, there are some brutal moments in this, one in particular that still has the power to shock today, and it's one of those moments that you think is intense now, but then you think, oh my word, imagine how much more shocking it would have been, you know, back in the day, you know, in Britain with video nasties moral panic going around. Anyway, The Mutilator's a good example of a so-called throwaway movie that's been sticking in people's memory long after many big-budget Hollywood movies have just gone by the wayside. Now, Arrow released this with a whole bunch of great little treasures, some of them shot on home video, and it's just fantastic to think that we're living in a world where we can access the screen tests on VHS for the people who were in this film. I think that's just a cool example of living in the modern world. I'm sure there's lots of other things, you know, like medicine and all that stuff, but the fact that you can see screen tests of obscure exploitation movies is one of the great things. Yeah. Now, next up, we've got Mario Bava's Five Dolls for an August Moon. And this is also a film that could have faded forever due to the fact that it's one of Bava's most obscure titles. But it did find a brief resurgence on DVD about 30 years later after its release in 1970. But now, Our Video have restored it and threw it back onto the HD table for anyone who might have missed it first time round. And it's basically an island-set Agatha Christie-style carve-up with kooky millionaires trying to persuade a scientist to give up on a fortune-making formula. Now, I can't recall what the actual recipe is, what it's for, but whatever it is, it's a highly desirable product, put it that way. And this millionaire-like group keep slapping checks in front of this scientist, trying to get him to sign this stuff away, but this scientist's just like, he's too cool for school. He's like, you know, he's a bit of a Trappist monk when it comes to money. He rejects the lure of filthy lucre, so he says no. But anyway, while all of this happening, people keep getting murdered and cropping up in sealed plastic bags. Now, this is a very classic slasher movie trope of the killer storing his victims in one place, a sort of trophyism that serial killers are into. Those crazy guys. Anyway, Bava's visual flair means there's plenty of sweet stuff to look at, not least Hedwig Fennec. Is that how you say her name? Anyway, she's pretty gorgeous. The architecture of the seaside resort is really cool, and what I also found especially interesting was the interior design, the interior decor of some of these places. There's so much stuff of it in there that looks contemporary today. The huge circular lampshades, for example, are currently in a few coffee shops that I know nearby. So yeah, it's a lovely looking film. However, let me be frank, I found it to be on the whole a bit tedious and slightly confusing. There's one thing you can do to liven this film up though. I recommend playing the Mario Bava drinking game to add to the fun. Basically, all you have to do is have one drink every camera zoom and voila, you and your friends will be paralytic within the first 11 minutes. Seriously. Watch the first 11 minutes and count up the zooms in this and you will be snorting laughing into your sleeve. Finally, Dario Argento brings the this episode's most famous, I would say, and distinguished entry, which is Deep Red, which Italian title is Profondo Rosso, sounds way cooler. I doubt there's anyone out there who hasn't tried a Dario Argento giallo film, but if somehow this has passed you by, then this is an ideal introduction to the director's style. The gliding cameras here, the badass progressive soundtrack, the close-ups of gloved hands flashing blades into the camera like a horror version of those bits on the A-Team. You know, when like they would build stuff and you'd get BA blow-torching a steel plate to a hearse. It's like that. The brutal yet somehow still tasteful violence, it's all here. Plus, there's the convoluted but fun crime fiction plot that blends these sorts of films into some sort of netherworld between horror and thriller. It's a giallo also that heralds Argento's welcome first treads into more supernatural territory. His masterpiece, Suspiria, was to follow, but I think there's times you can taste that film deep inside the red here. Well, everybody, that's it for this first quickfire episode. For more episodes, including my usual in-depth stuff, then you can check out the website at theflickstherchurchforgot.com. And please don't forget to share and subscribe and spread the word if you're up for it. Follow me on Twitter at RevPeterLaws or at Facebook at theflickstherchurchforgot. Join me in the next episode where I'm going to be reviewing a really interesting release, again from Arrow Video, called The American Horror Project. And so in that, I'll be looking at three quirky titles: Malatesta's Carnival of Blood, The Witch Who Came from the Sea, and finally, The Premonition. But until then, don't forget the flicks the church forgot.